Welcome to this special edition of Industry Misinterpretations with James Robertson of Syncom Systems. I recorded this talk on November 15, 2007 with the Revenue 360 Group, an alliance between Syncom Systems and Provider Advantage, and they work in the healthcare sector. I'll let them introduce the product and the service they provide. If you have feedback on this or any other episode, please send it to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com. Head on over to iTunes or Facebook and leave a review, or you can head on over to the Ning Group and leave a review there. You can also head over to Podcast Alley and cast a vote. In the meantime, please feel free again to send feedback to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com.
Hey, darling, I gotta talk to you about the things you've been putting me through now. I gotta talk to you, I gotta be explained to you.
This is James Robertson of Syncom Systems. I'm here with the first episode of Healthcare Matters. I'm working with the Revenue 360 Group, which is made up of Syncom Systems and Provider Advantage. I have an interesting group of experts on the line. I'll let them introduce themselves, since they'll do a better job of that than I will.
Hi, Jim. I'm Chris Woodhead. I'm the director of the Syncom's Syncom Intelligent Business Applications Group. Thanks for the opportunity of talking to you today.
John Mangan, Director of Business Development for Syncom Systems.
And Lois Cameron, Director of Strategic Product Management for Provider Advantage.
Okay, well, that's good. Let me get started then. First off, before I go into anything more difficult, why don't I just ask what it is that Revenue 360 does? What problem is it you guys solve?
Well, perhaps I can kick off with that, Jim. Provider Advantage and Syncom Systems have come together, and we are now promoting jointly our solution called Revenue 360. This is a comprehensive revenue management solution for U.S. hospitals. We are bringing together aspects like insurance code solution, insurance eligibility, demographics, and others into a comprehensive revenue management platform that's activated at the point of patient registration.
One of the things you're trying to do is you're trying to take the complexity that's involved in getting into a healthcare system, and there are the bazillion forms that you have to fill out every time you go to see a new doctor or anytime you're in a hospital. One of the things you're trying to do is simplify which end of that exactly?
Yeah, I think that's right. Both simplify and bring them together in one platform. You know, I think hospitals in the past have been trying to address this problem, and it has a very big impact on the bottom line of the hospital's profitability or the revenues that they're generating from dealing with their patients. They've been doing it in a very disparate way, buying one-off solutions that address these problems. Revenue 360, for the first time, brings this all together in one place, in one platform that's guiding the patient registrar through the process of registration and dealing in one place with the sometimes very difficult aspects of understanding who's going to pay for a particular healthcare event.
I can give you a little example of that, Jim. In the past, when healthcare addressed the revenue cycle, a common term that they use, which includes everything from the time the patient shows up until the patient gets their service and then pays their bill, all the emphasis was put on the back end, on the billing end, and the collection end. And there's been a trend in the last couple of years that it should be shifted to the front end, that the resources and the energy and the process should be shifted to the front end, because that's where most of the problems occur, most of the mistakes occur. And one of the areas we can talk about real quickly is this problem that registration people who are overworked and underpaid, the problems they have with getting the information correct at the point of service, the information that they're gathering, if they don't get it correct, it kind of washes through the whole revenue cycle and ends up in denials and bad debt at the back end. So our solution includes a module or an approach where we can help them by guiding them in certain areas to not make those mistakes in the first place. If those mistakes aren't made, then the revenue implications at the back end don't take place.
Now, if I get that right, the way you call that process is automated intelligent guidance, and that's something I picked up off your website, which, as I understand it, your website is www.revenue360, that's all one word, .net, as opposed to .com. I want to make sure people understand that. It's revenue360.net, correct?
Correct.
And why don't you go into a little bit about what you mean by automated intelligent guidance?
Well, real quick, and others can just jump in too, because we talk about this an awful lot. This is kind of what we feel to be one of our differentiators. This automated guidance, this intelligence that we put in, is very flexible. It can be based on the rules and the processes of the institution, and they can jump in at certain places in the revenue cycle, and they can help the individual. Like I said, in the example I gave was not to make errors, but it can be done for other things also. For example, Lois, I know when it comes to eligibility, we use intelligent guidance to make that process better.
We do, John. We use automated intelligent guidance to assist the registrar in zeroing in on the appropriate information from the eligibility response. Some of the payers are very verbose with their information, giving you as much as 12 pages of data to sort through. So what we do is we customize the eligibility response information so that information is the information that presents at the forefront is the information that the registrar needs to zero in on and really work with in order to process that patient through the financial aspects so that they can get to their clinical procedure. One of the other things that I think our product does very well is it addresses consumer-driven healthcare plans. As more and more employers are stepping to the plate with and purchasing health plans that increase the out-of-pocket expenses for their employees, the burden on the hospital to collect dollars from the patient has gone up over 25%. In the last several years, and it's going to climb well beyond that. So hospitals have to shift their orientation to collecting money at the front of the clinical experience. And so what we've done is we've helped them not only by providing tools to better understand the patient's financial health, but also using intelligent guidance, we have the ability to add phraseology, to have prompts that help the registrar get through those kind of difficult conversations that they're not used to having with the patients in a manner that's befitting the hospital. So the hospital really tells us how they want their registrars to be able to phrase the question, how would you like to pay for this today? And we help prompt and guide them through that process.
So part of the idea here is that you're trying to take some of the human element where errors can be introduced out of the process and go to a more automated system where hopefully if the information is accurate and they've dealt with this before and it's in the system, you'll get all that aggregated at once instead of having to go through a potentially error-prone process of talking to either the patient or multiple people associated with the patient who may not have all the complete information or if they're in some kind of health crisis situation just may not be mentally prepared to give you that information.
That's right, Jim. You know, one of the things that we found that, you know, 31% of registrations result in various errors, and that's not because people are incompetent, it's because there are so many complexities involved. And as Lois has said now, there's going to add this complexity now of trying to calculate the out-of-pocket obligation for a person who's there for a service and then asking them to pay part of it up front. You can see we're increasing the complexity considerably. And by using this guidance and this preemptive way of getting involved early, we don't let the errors take place. 80% of the work of the back office in the revenue cycle for hospitals is devoted to rework. Think about that, Jim. They actually rework, let mistakes take place, problems occur, and then they spend 80% of the time trying to correct those, to rework those, and yet still many of them sneak through and end up in a financial liability at the end of the revenue cycle.
Well, having dealt with telecoms and credit card companies, I know how those errors just propagate through a system. I'm sure the healthcare system is really no different than dealing with any other large entity that way. So, yeah, I understand the concept. You're trying to make sure that if the data goes in correctly on the front end, then you don't need to do all the rework of trying to fix it on the back end.
Correct, yeah.
I think it's really interesting as we've talked to hospitals and we've talked to our prospects and our customers about, you know, just how complicated this registration process is and what a lot of things the registrar has to remember to ask the right questions to get the right information. And when we talk about automated intelligence guidance, what we mean there is that at the appropriate point of the registration process, our system is activated, so it pops up in the registrar window, and it guides them and prompts them to ask the right questions at the right time to get the information that they need. So it might be asking questions about certain types of patients, or it might be asking questions about the insurance that the patient has to make sure that the correct insurance system number gets put back into the HIS system, or it could be interpreting the insurance eligibility data and then presenting that to the registrar in a way which is easy for them to interact with the patient. So we're really all about, at the point of registration, trying to make it easy for the registrar to interact with the patient and to get the right information without having to remember all those things to ask. And all that is totally personable or personalizable for that particular hospital. So your particular rules, how you want to interact with the patient, are built into the system automatically. That makes the registrar's job so much easier, and of course, as John said, so much more accurate, avoiding all those errors and avoiding all that need for auditing and rework on the back end, improving both the patient experience and also the reliability of the information that the hospital's gathering.
I also think, Jim, there's a Chris mentioned improving the patient's experience, and that really has become a critical factor for hospitals. They're all fighting to, you know, geographically, they're fighting for patients to come and use their facility versus their competitor's facility. And patient experience is not just about the clinical experience. It is about that financial conversation and how those conversations are conducted and what kinds of opportunities the hospital provides to the patient to discuss their out-of-pocket expenses, to have an understanding of what service, and if that payment is out of their realm, to have the hospital help them figure out how they're going to meet those obligations. And so that has become an extremely important element in retaining patients, getting patients to come back to their facility as they need clinical care.
So basically what you're trying to do is make sure that all of those upfront errors are handled in a more automated fashion. You're trying to make sure that you get accurate information at the point where you need it. You're trying to make sure that the potentially uncomfortable questions are asked in the least uncomfortable way. And I'm looking over this in terms of uncomfortability. There's the whole issue of payment, and certainly in any kind of hospitalization situation, people are going to be either nervous or not really prepared for this. And it looks like, from what I'm looking at on your website, that you can, with this system, help figure out whether a patient qualifies for any kind of payment assistance or anything like that.
Well, that's true, Jim. What we're doing is we're providing a risk assessment, so we're identifying the patient's financial health, and then we're providing information about what that procedure is going to cost out of pocket for the patient. And so we have a picture of their financial health, we understand what their out of pocket expenses are, and so the hospital now can have a very educated discussion with the patient. Not only are they educating the patient on their benefits, but they're also educating the patients prior to the procedure about how they can handle that out-of-pocket expense, relieving the patient's anxiety over that. We've heard about a couple of studies that have been done recently where patients were brought in, and this concept about pricing estimation was discussed. You know, what is your bill going to be? What is your out-of-pocket expenses going to be prior to the point of service? And almost to a person, those focal groups ended up saying that that part of the hospital experience was the most stressful part for them, that they weren't nearly as concerned about the clinical outcome as they were about what the financial aspects were. And hospitals are coming to understand that that is a very critical conversation to have, not only to the patient, but also maybe to suggest that surgery or that procedure that the physician has ordered is maybe not the best procedure for that patient, and they're actually sending the patient back to their physician for different conversations to see if there's perhaps an alternative method of treating whatever it is that's wrong with the patient. So there's a real recognition going on both on the hospital side and the patient side that it is a collaborative effort and that they need to have those conversations, those financial conversations, so the patient really is a part of the decision-making process rather than just being instructed to go do this.
Okay, and I guess there's also just a lot of confusion around the whole issue kind of associated with that as to whether you're eligible based on the kind of health plan you have and based on the kind of situation you're in, whether you're eligible for a certain kind of care. There might be confusion over whether there's eligibility for a certain kind of care. And in addition to finding the right kind of care for somebody on a medical basis, there's also the whole issue of making sure that it works in the context of the system. So I guess from what I'm understanding here, it looks like your whole automated system helps resolve those problems and boil them down so that they will be less problematic.
Yeah, Jim, and one thing to emphasize here is all the things that we've been talking about today and you've been commenting about, in the past, when they were available through separate applications. So the CFO of a hospital, the vice president of revenue cycle management, had to go out, and he couldn't find one solution to do all these things. He had to have multiple solutions and therefore multiple implementations and multiple integration points. And we've been going to a good number of HFMA and World Congress events, and we've been hearing people almost kind of, you know, pleading for, can people start to put these on more of an integrated platform so that we can use them together? I think that's one of the things that we'd like to emphasize today, kind of a differentiator, is our approach is to take all these diverse ways of going out and getting information, bringing it back, making sure errors don't take place, all these multiple applications, and putting them on one integrated platform that they can then apply and use. Now, again, they may not be ready for all these various modules on the platform, so even though it's an integrated platform, individuals can purchase the modules, the functionality that they need at the time.
Well, if I wanted to draw an analogy to consumer software, if you were to go back, and this is actually quite a ways in the industry now, 20 years ago, you had a word processor, you maybe had a spreadsheet, you had a presentation program, and they were all separate pieces, and if you wanted to put, say, a picture from one into one of the other applications, was very complicated. And then things like Microsoft Office and the current suite, you know, there's OpenOffice, and then there's the suite from Apple now. Once those integrated suites started coming out, it got a lot simpler to mix and match things. And it sounds like you're trying to do the same thing in this arena, is put together an integrated system so that instead of having to work with 3, 4, 5 disparate systems and try to share data in a potentially error-prone way across those, you're kind of putting them all together the same way Office Suites put together that stuff.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Jim.
Yeah, I agree, Jim. That was well said. I've been in healthcare for a long time, and one of the things that has always frustrated me on behalf of hospitals is that we've got this piece of information coming from this data source through this connection, and then we've got another piece of information coming from this data source through this connection. And the problem is that none of them are interlinked, as you just said. So you're absolutely right. What we've done with Revenue 360 is build a strategy for our hospitals that allows them to use one rules engine to drive transactions, drive information, to create using automated intelligence and a means of feeding that information back to the registrars, the financial people, in a very succinct way that allows them to effectively converse with that patient, manage that patient from a clinical perspective, and move the patient through the experience. I think we're all really proud of what we've accomplished thus far.
Okay, now actually there's one other thing I wanted to bring up. It, along that whole lines of pricing and integration, it's somewhat uncomfortable and the kind of thing that patients don't want to hear about any more than customers of a retail store want to hear about enterprise resource systems. But you need to have that kind of transparency in the back end so that the hospital can get its books in alignment, because getting the books in alignment ultimately means that there'll be fewer problems for the people on the front end. Even though the people on the front end don't really care about that integration per se, it does mean that they'll have fewer problems downstream because the hospital itself will have a better idea of what its books look like and what their books will look like.
Well, Jim, it's a really good point, because you think about this challenge now that all of a sudden, for the first time in U.S. history, is that people are going to be going to hospitals and they're going to be expected to share in the payment for the services. A lot of people just aren't used to doing that. So the system, the process that does this is going to have to be foolproof. It's going to have to be very high value, and it's going to have to be in sync with where the customer wants it to be. And the worst thing that could happen would be is if you ask them for some out-of-pocket amount, but you're not sure how much it really is, or you hem and haw, you don't know how to say it, you don't know how to calculate it. That just, you know, breeds a lack of confidence and will make it that much more difficult. So, again, we're trying to address that. We're trying to put confidence at the front end so that that person using parts of Revenue 360 can with confidence say, yes, I understand what your benefits are and for the insurance plan you have. I understand the charges that the hospital makes here. I understand the various contracts. Putting this all together, the amount that you owe right now is this, and say that with confidence and say it the right way so that the customer will feel good about that and be able to then pay it without any kind of regret.
Well, I think if I put that all together, that sounds like you've pretty much got the revenue cycle wrapped up from start to end, at least with all the pieces that you can potentially put into place. Now, if, again, the website for this is revenue360.net, and who specifically are you looking to get this kind of information to? Is this the kind of thing you want hospital administrators to look at? Who exactly are the people that you're wanting to get this information to?
Well, certainly the CFO, the VP of Revenue Cycle are two, you know, really good places to start. The VP of Revenue Cycle is really looking at, you know, all the revenue aspects of the facility, and we find that they are really interested in what we have to say and interested in the product. Sometimes this effort is driven at the level, so directors of patient access can also be very interested in finding ways for their registrars to collect at the point of service, as well as helping finding ways for the registrars to become more self-sufficient earlier in the training process. And certainly with our intelligent guidance, that gives us a leg up and offers an opportunity for the patient access directors to really take a hard look at our product and recognize the significance of what we offer. So we like to start at the CFO level, but certainly VPs of Revenue Cycle and Access Directors are just as important, and we look forward to speaking with them.
I think, Jim, we've talked quite a lot about the platform, and we've talked about enterprise software solutions, and you know, this can sound enormously complicated, can't it? And you know, maybe some of our listeners are wondering whether this is really something that we should be talking to their IT department about. And one of the challenges that we set ourselves when we started to develop Revenue 360 was to make it easy to use. That means that for the registrar, it's an automatic process, so the registrar will see this seamlessly appearing on their desktop. So during registration, they have nothing to do but follow the pop-ups and the instructions and the guidance that's being presented to them. And for the administrator of the system, you know, we talked about Microsoft Office and the various similar suites of word processing and spreadsheets and presentation systems being integrated. We're really aiming the administration of this as somebody who's used to that sort of system. So the sort of skill level of the administrator will be the business user of a suite like Office. So to arrange where the pop-ups appear, what the pop-ups say, what the guidance is, changing those, making sure they're relevant every day, that's being done by an administrator who is the expert, not the IT department. So once the system's set up, the everyday maintenance is very much at the same sort of skill level as you'd see for that sort of business user. I really do think that the key to this is bringing this all together on this one single platform. As Lois has said, data coming from different sources, data that's not connected, data may be having to be gathered on several different occasions for different purposes. That's all the thing of the past with Revenue 360. All this information, all this data is brought together on one platform, is presented to the registrar at the point of registration, and then is used to make sure that the revenue management process is as simple and as accurate as possible. And that's a real key of Revenue 360. I just wanted to have the opportunity to say that part towards the end of this. Thanks, Jim.
No, that's a good summary of what you guys are and what you guys do. And I think that pretty much wraps up for my end what kinds of questions I might have. This is James Robertson of Syncom Systems. I want to make sure to mention the website, www.revenue360, that's all one word, .net. That's R-E-V-E-N-U-E 360.net. And head on over there and check out these guys' solutions. I think they have an interesting piece of software and technology, and I think they can solve some hard problems. And that about wraps up this segment. Hope you enjoyed that. Again, if you have feedback, please send it to smalltalkpodcasts@syncom.com or check out Industry Misinterpretations on Facebook, Ning, or head on over to iTunes and search for Smalltalk, or head on over to Podcast Alley and cast a vote for us.
Darling, I gotta talk to you about the things you've been putting me through now. I gotta talk to you. I gotta be explained.